let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Raising Thunder by Michael Book is the story of Thunder, an unreleasable shot and rehabilitated bald eagle. Michael worked with and trained Thunder. They traveled the country educating children and adults about our national bird. Thunder became an environmental education ambassador for the West Virginia Raptor Rehabilitation Center and a symbol for the success of the Endangered Species Act. Michael Book, founder and director of the West Virginia Raptor Rehabilitation Center, is the author of Raising Thunder, and he's our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm sure I'll enjoy this.
What a touching book. I laugh in some places, have tears in other places in reading the book, and so looking forward to having you on to talk about this. Let's go back to the beginning, where this relationship, where this story started. December 1st, 1992. Let's pick it up there with Thunder and the tragedy that she had to endure that day.
Yeah, she was shot. It was an antlerless deer season, which we have here in West Virginia, and she was shot by a hunter. Now, most hunters, I will say, are good people. They're not. They do more beneficial things for us than they do detrimental things. But somebody decided that this big brown bird was sitting there, and it was an easy target, and so they shot it. A bullet passed through the thigh. It was perched. It passed through the thigh, didn't hit the bone, fortunately, and then clipped the end of the wing off, which is the equivalent of your hand, which meant that it was not going to be releasable. We couldn't fix that.
Yeah, it's interesting because she wouldn't have been able to survive, right, if she was returned to the wild. So you really had to take care of her and nurse her back to health, didn't you?
Yeah, most birds are that we get are not handled like this one was. And bald eagles are probably, from my experience, and I've been messing with these birds for over 40 years, but bald eagles, especially the females, have real attitudes, and they make this a super symbol for freedom and power and strength and courage for this country. I mean, they really do. She just embodies everything that the country stands for. She's not mean. She doesn't pick on people, but she sure will fight back if she has to.
And you saw that, say, over 21 years, and it's all detailed in the book Raising Thunder. Michael Book, our guest on the program. You'll find the book at Amazon.com, of course, where books are usually sold. You can link on directly to the Amazon link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Fortunately, Thunder ended up going to your center. Talk about how that happened. You think probably a number of times a bird would just not survive. Nobody would see it, would take it to get care. How did it end up at the center?
Well, fortunately, there was another good sportsman in the area that found the bird, and the wing was just dangling by a small piece of skin, and he actually cut that off because he didn't know what to do with it. We couldn't have put the wing back on. And then he called the authorities, the wildlife conservation officers, and then they had worked with us before, and so they brought the bird to us. And it's strange that that bird was the second one that week we got from almost the same place. The other bird ended up, we had it for 8 months, and it died from an infection, one silly little pellet, but it was in the bird long enough that it got osteomyelitis. It got an infection in the bone. And the bird couldn't be saved. I mean, it just went on and went on and went on. But she was fortunately, we were able to save her. And then it was just a rehab process. We didn't know what we were going to do with her until the day came that, okay, we don't have to dress her wounds every day and force feed her, which we later learned that we didn't have to force feed her. If she'd been hungry, she would have eaten on her own. But this is a long time ago, and there wasn't much knowledge about many of the birds, and even our national emblem, there was very little knowledge about it.
And you got a real education in the time that you spent, I think probably all through those 21 years with Thunder. In the book, it talks about training Mike to understand the needs and behaviors of a young bald eagle with all the spirit of the wild in her eyes and in her heart. What was that like dealing with her when you knew that's really not where she wanted to be? She was meant to be outdoors and to roam at will.
Well, her only option, this is the, you know, throughout the 21 years, I was the lesser of the evils that she had to deal with. she was going to stay alive, at least if she was with me. She never did have her spirit broken. Honestly, the day that she died, had she been healthy and had her wing, a full complement of her wing, even at that late date, after 21 years, I'm convinced that I could have turned her loose and she would have been a wild, free bird that would have reproduced in the wild and never had anything to do with people. So she didn't really like me. I was just the lesser of the evils that she had to encounter on a day-to-day basis.
How did that relationship change over the 21 years? And during this time, there was, over 100,000 miles that the two of you traveled together. I mean, you were in the car, you shared meals, you shared hotel rooms, you shared tents. You lived together over that period. How did this relationship evolve?
It was a strained relationship. It was almost 3 years before I got her on my arm. And we're not talking about I mess with her once a week. I was messing with her hours a day. I mean, thousands of hours before she ever sat on my arm for the first time. And there was a great deal of reluctance then, but we didn't do any, there were no food rewards or anything. I mean, I fed her regularly and she was healthy and we tried to keep her healthy. And we just tried to create a relationship of kind of, I guess, a mutual respect. I don't know how much respect she had for me, but I had an awful lot for her. But she did, if you were to come and visit, we had visitors that would come to her flight cage and I would go inside and just your presence outside, I could stand on one side of the cage and she would sidestep up her perch to where she could get next to me. Not because she liked me, and I use this line thousands of times, she doesn't like me, she just dislikes you more. And that's the way it was for 21 years. But we did have a mutual respect for one another, and she was not a bad bird, but it was a shame that she couldn't have been turned loose. She was super breeding stock. She would have been the epitome of a parent and a breeding strain for a wild bald eagle. She was a super bird for sure.
Talk about how she became this ambassador, where the two of you logged over 100,000 miles, talking to kids, talking to members of Congress. How did that whole situation evolve where she became an ambassador? I mean, she's touched the lives of three generations of people here in the country.
Yeah, and she still does. I mean, she's not, her impact is still felt. People daily on our website for the Raptor Rehab Center, she's often mentioned and remembered by people from all over. But our slogan at the Raptor Center, I mean, we try to rehab birds and turn them back into the wild. But the thing that I came up with is that the most urgent thing that we do is rehab the birds, but the most important thing that we do is the education. And we will save lots more birds with the education, just like with Thunder. We saved countless bald eagles, I'm sure, with our education. She was just such a big specimen, and she was an extremely large bird at 13 pounds, and if she had her full complement of that wing, she would have had about a 7.5-foot wingspan. So for a bald eagle, a female bald eagle, she was way above average. She was probably in the 95 percentile. So just her size was enough to impress. You would have to be a simpleton, I think, not to be impressed just by her appearance. And keep in mind, she didn't have that, and a part of the training was she did not have a white head and tail until she was in her fifth year and into her sixth year, to where she had a full complement of white head feathers and tail feathers. And that was the reason that everybody would say when we introduced her in the first programs that I did, and I'll never forget the first one. I don't know who was more frightened, me or her. It was probably mutual. But the first 10,000 people that saw her when I took her out of the cage, nobody knew what kind of bird it was. Most people guessed that it was a golden eagle. People could not believe that bald eagles don't just come out of the nest with a white head and a white tail. So after that, you know, and everybody would say, how can anybody shoot a bald eagle? And after those first 10,000 people that had no clue, I told him, I said, those, not defending that person, but that person did not shoot a bald eagle, I'm convinced. That same year that we got Thunder in West Virginia, I hate to say that we had 12 bald eagles that were either shot or caught in traps. And of those, only one was an adult. And of those 12, Thunder was the only survivor. So people were shooting big brown birds, but they really didn't know that they were bald eagles.
Michael,
we don't have that happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore around here.
Well, and part of that is probably the story of you and Thunder. It's told so well in the book Raising Thunder by Michael Book, our guest on the program. Book's available at Amazon.com, the usual places where books are sold. You and Thunder touch so many young people and really will form their opinions on bald eagles and the environment and taking care of God's creatures that we find in the environment. But you got as far as Congress, and you even had the attention of congressmen that were. Sometimes it's difficult to get the attention of congressmen. You had them there, and Thunder made a big impact on them as well, didn't she?
Yes, the picture that was on the front of the book is in front of the Capitol. That was taken in the swamp, and it was really. I'm not sure that we made. Well, we did make an impression. Everywhere she went, she made an impression. I was just her handler. That was my role. But we were there. That actually the Senate was patting themselves on the back for this is a Thunder was a symbol of the success of the endangered species program that the legislator had introduced in 1972, I think it was. So they were, you know, they were as awestruck as anybody else. And when we took her, there are a lot of bald eagles now that people have. And I think they're really magnificent when they fly at the national anthem, and that's always a nice thing to see. But they wanted a wild bird, and the birds that they use are hatched and raised in captivity. But they wanted a real wild bald eagle, and she was the only one that anybody handled. So I think she was just sort of through elimination process, she was the one that was selected. But they had a backup, one from the Eagle Foundation in near Knoxville, Tennessee, just in case Thunder couldn't show up.
But Thunder's a trooper.
She made a hit.
She was there and made a hit. How did she react to all of this in the classroom for the first time? You mentioned how nervous you were. I'm sure it was the same with her. And you've got a great scene in the book where you're giving her a shower in a hotel parking lot in Orlando, and wherever you went, there was an audience, whether you wanted an audience there or not, people would come up and she would grab their attention. How did she respond to all of that? She was the center of attention wherever she went.
That's very true. And it was difficult. We had, when we traveled, when we were driving, we would stop at rest stops. And I can remember the first overnight trip that we took. And I learned so much about her and bald eagles in particular on that trip. But we drove to Hilton Head in South Carolina, or North Carolina, whichever Carolina it's in. That was where we were going to be doing this presentation, and we were supposed to stay there for 2 or 3 days. So we drove for about 5 hours, and it was a Saturday. And after 5 hours, she was like a kid, or like me. You ride in a car, after 5 hours was the limit either of us could take, and we started squirming. Well, she was kind of squirming in her cage. And we got along well. We worked together pretty well. But this was our first overnight trip. And I pulled into the first parking, the first rest area in North Carolina. And I had to go. And it was really nice because it had trees. And I drove around. And it was a one-way type of a rest area. And I went into the last section of it. And then you pulled in diagonally. But I had her in the back of my van. And she always rode in a minivan. That was the Chrysler minivan was the only thing big enough, wide enough across the top, that was tall enough, most of them have a curb in them, that her cage would fit into. So we did a lot of Chrysler ads, I guess. We never got anything for that, but we did Chrysler ads. But anyway, we pulled in, but I had to back in to the space. So you can imagine a place that you come and you pull in diagonally and you see a car that's backed in. Obviously, the diagonals are for one directional traffic. So I backed in so I could open up the back and let her out and let her sit on her perch and have her little swimming pool of water. No longer did we get her all settled there. And here comes the North Carolina State Trooper cruising through the rest area. And he comes by and he sees this white van backed in backwards into a diagonal parking space, thinking, what kind of idiot is this? And he whips his cruiser over and he gets out and adjusts himself, and he looks up and he sees Thunder there, and he just his radio squawked and he turned his radio down, and he never came any closer. He stayed a distance back, but he talked to me, and finally I said, you know, I'd talk to you here all day, but we really have a lot of miles to cover yet. So what we actually started doing when we get on these trips and we really needed a break, because it was everywhere, we couldn't find any place to have privacy, except we would stop in the truck stops and we would find two tractor trailers and we would pull in between them, and then nobody could see us. So that's how we got our privacy traveling in the rest stops.
One of the great stories you'll find in the book by Michael. Michael Book is the author and our guest on the program. The book is Raising Thunder. It's available at Amazon. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you'll be able to get all the information on the book. A couple minutes left in the book. This whole education tour is amazing, and teachers concerned about, I don't know whether my kids are rather rambunctious, I'm not sure how long they're going to pay attention to a bird. He really commanded attention, didn't he, in the classroom? This was something that the kids sat at attention, and something I'm sure they have taken with them the rest of their lives.
Yes, and the teachers, I got a lot more credit than I deserved. The teachers thought I was really good, because these kids, especially 7th and 8th graders, they're just like water or grease on water boiling, you know. I mean, they just won't hold still.
Yes.
Kids will sit for hours and watch this bird. We would be on stages and these kids would be sitting in an auditorium 6 and 7 rows back. And I can remember these little girls with long hair, and Thunder would come up on her perch and flap her wings and her hair would blow. I mean, they were like, they'll never have anything like this anywhere in their life again. And I mean, it really made an impact on them. But they listened and they got the message. And we're a very apolitical group, and all we're interested in is that getting a point across that man as a species is a part of nature, not apart from nature. And that's a real important thing to get across to everybody, that we all have to have a place to live and we just have to work together, and let's don't hog things, and these birds don't hog things. But they do occupy some trees for a pretty long time with their nests.
You know, it's interesting, because if you just say that, people listen and, yeah, I understand what you're saying. When you understand, when you see Thunder, when you understand the story of Thunder, suddenly it's a very graphic illustration of what you were talking about. 21 years with Thunder, the founder of the rehab center there. Are we beginning to catch on to the message now? Do you see that we are beginning to understand that we're part of this whole big world out there?
Oh, but most definitely. The education is unbelievable. The comments that we get from people and the efforts that people make, and we're just a small organization. I mean, we've never had any paid staff, and you know, we have 40 birds on hand just about all the time between our education birds and then the ones we're rehabbing. So it's a pretty dedicated bunch of volunteers that do just about anything. And then the impact, I mean, during the educational programs, like I said, the most urgent thing is in fact the rehabilitation, but the most important thing is the education. And it is. I've had 3 generations at Salt Thunder. A guy was in his 20s, and then it was the same year that Thunder died. He came there with his son, who had seen Thunder, and then his grandson. So he had 3 generations there, which was pretty phenomenal. And that was just about her last major appearance that we had. That was at the opening of our new rehab center in Fairmont, and to have those 3 generations, and that's how much of an impact that she made.
In touching more people with the book Raising Thunder, it's the story of years of tears, laughter, hard work, frustration, perseverance. It's all in the book by Michael Book, Raising Thunder. The book's available at Amazon.com, and you can link on directly to get information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Michael, thank you so much for being with us on the program today. What an excellent book, and bringing, for those of us that never had the pleasure of seeing Thunder in person, a feeling like we know her and we will remember her message. Thank you for sharing it with us on the program today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick. I really enjoyed it.
It has been our pleasure. Raising Thunder, the book. Michael Book is the author. You'll find information on Michael's book at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.